Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from our gospel lesson, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In today's world, not much thought is given to Satan or hell. Even though many people may consider themselves spiritual, they may not recognize the existence of Satan or hell. Many people, and even Christians, may look upon talk of Satan and hell as something archaic, vestiges of the old, ancient, superstitious world. But in the ancient world, it's interesting to note that Satan and hell were not always pictured as we often picture it, as a place of burning, a place where Satan is that guy dressed up in the red suit with a pitchfork. In ancient times, evil, Satan, and hell were simply portrayed as the absence of God. Complete nothingness. To be connected to evil or Satan was to be detached from reality, with no point of reference, kind of like you're in constant free fall, no grounding, no foundation. This is why for Satan, he was out in the wilderness, out in the desert, that he tempted Jesus. What is the desert, the wilderness? It's a place where nothing grows. It's a place of rock and sand, no vegetation. It's a place of nothingness. The desert, in context, is just the opposite of the paradise that God created in the beginning. And in this view of Satan and hell, we often find that darkness is linked to Satan. Now, most of us have never experienced total darkness. That is, when there is no light at all, no point of reference. The best picture that I can come up with is going into a cave. Not just a little way, but a long ways into the cave, and then turn out your light. Complete nothingness soon surrounds you, and you become disoriented. Absolute darkness like this creates in us a kind of fear. It's almost demonic. God created the world out of nothing. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And so the first thing that God said on that first day of creation was, "Let there be light." And suddenly, darkness and nothingness was dispelled. From then on, the goodness that God created could be seen. Light was now separated from the darkness, and lights were placed into the heavens to give light to the earth, to rule over the day and the night. And God saw that it was good. But what God had created good, however, suddenly became very dark when Satan infected Adam and Eve with that sickness. The serpent tempted them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that would open their eyes, not for wisdom, but open their eyes to the darkness And so they ate, and their eyes were opened. But they no longer saw only the goodness of God's creation. They couldn't see the richness or the complexity of that creation, but instead their eyes were now open to evil, to darkness, and they experienced shame. When they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they realized fear. Fear of the darkness and fear of life without God. From this moment on, Adam and all his children would be infected with that virus, which is sin and death, and darkness would reign. In the light of God's word, we confess that we are children of Adam and Eve, and as such, poor, miserable sinners, with no good within us, only darkness. As St. Paul wrote, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Jesus' first act after his baptism was to do what we could not do. Jesus, the second Adam, was led by the Spirit into the darkness of the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. Jesus was God's only begotten Son. Now, the devil knew that the only way to defeat Jesus was to get him to forsake his sonship, to forsake the cross, to forsake his mission to save sinners. He would attempt for Jesus to forsake his identity as God's Son and to disobey the Father's will, just as Satan was able to tempt the first Adam. Satan would use words, even words of Scripture, to tempt Jesus to forego the 3 hours of darkness on the cross where God's anger over sin would be unleashed in the most violent of ways. Satan was smart, and he said to Jesus, "Turn these stones into bread. Throw yourself down from the temple, for God's angels will protect you. Bow down and worship me, and all these things will be yours." But Jesus was a true son. He was an obedient son. He knew that his destiny was at the cross. And he fought off that temptation from Satan, and he kept his appointment with death at the cross. He fought him off with the only weapon that he knew would defeat Satan, and that was the word. Jesus spoke the word in the darkness and in the wilderness. Jesus knew what the psalm said was true. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This living word gave light to Jesus' path all the way to Golgotha. This light continues to shine in the darkness of this world. Satan makes another attempt to keep Jesus from the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, outside of Jerusalem, Jesus sees the cup of God's wrath that he must drink. Jesus looks across the valley to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple, and sees the darkness that he must enter on behalf of all mankind. And Jesus cries out, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done." Adam and Eve couldn't do this. You could not do this. only Jesus can look at the horror of the darkness and do his Father's will. Only God's fully human Son can do what we cannot do. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Only through suffering and death does God make right what has gone wrong. He enters the darkness and brings forth the light of the resurrection. Jesus makes right what has gone wrong by taking on Satan in the wilderness, in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the cross. And he was triumphant in all he did. Jesus' cross is where you see your salvation and the pattern of your life. When suffering becomes intense, trace the cross on your forehead and on your heart that marked you as a child of God, redeemed by Christ the crucified. Your baptism binds you to Jesus, who feeds you his very own body and blood. Bound to your baptism and fed at the table of the Lord, then say in Christ, "Not my will, but thine be done." When you succumb to temptation, and we all will, we all do, Jesus is there overcoming the darkness, for he shines that light of forgiveness, that light of life in eternity with him, that life of salvation. As the writer to the Hebrews said, "For because he has himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Those living in darkness know that there is nowhere to go but to Jesus. Just as Jesus knew that there was nowhere to go but the word of life during those 40 days of hunger and temptation in the wilderness. When you find yourself in the darkness, know that Christ went into the wilderness for you, and he is always with you, shining his light into the deep recesses of your life. In the depth of darkness, there is only one source of light, and that light is Jesus. Jesus knows that you daily battle the evil one. He has given his word to you. One particular word is found in Psalm 91, which you find printed out as our intro that we didn't use this morning. But there is God's word. God's word to you as you battle the evil one. Even though the darkness is all around you, you have nothing to fear. Jesus speaks those words of Psalm 91 to you in verses 15 and 16. "When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." In the order of evening prayer, we have an opening hymn that says, "Jesus is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and illumine your church. Do not be afraid of the darkness, for he has overcome the darkness. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.